Agenda of stuff. Let's start with the roll call first. Director Kozel.
Here.
Director Wright is going to be late. He's in traffic. Director Toombs is here. Director McLaughlin.
Here.
Director Stein. Okay. This is the period of time when we have public comment. It's limited to 20 minutes total, 5 minutes per person. It's not to cover anything on the agenda. It's for things that are not on the agenda. With that caveat, would anybody like to step up to the podium? Gloria, and then you, and then Hassan.
I just wanted to ask...
No, Gloria, the party's over there.
Sorry, excuse me. Yes, Gloria Morrison, citizen of Kensington. I just wanted to ask whether item B on the consent calendar, profit and loss budget components, will be discussed.
I believe it is. I think there's another handout here that...
Okay, so it will be discussed, then I don't have any comments.
We'll get to that. Don't worry. Calm down, folks. Calm down. You're next, and then it's on. Just stand up and say your name.
My name is Judy Jung, and I'm the director of the Kensington Senior Center, and I'm employed by the West Contra Costa Unified School District under adult education. And having attended the January, February, and March school board meetings at the Bonnie Eugene Middle School, there's a strong possibility that adult education may be eliminated. They've already taken $2 million off of our reserve fund, and another $1 million is on the chopping block. And so I just wanted to let you know that the Senior Center at the end of May may be eliminated.
Wow. That's serious.
Could I ask who are they? You said they took the money out.
Oh, the West Contra Costa Unified School District Board of Trustees.
Thank you.
The five boards.
Okay.
I'm sorry that there was the assumption that the Kensington Senior Center, which is at the Arlington Community Church, is not under the Arlington Community Church. My employer is the school district, and the church has graciously allowed the senior center to meet there. We make a monetary donation, which is not very big, but the seniors have really enjoyed being there, and there's three preschools underneath the church, and there's a very good mutual benefit because at least twice a year, Easter, Christmas, and sometimes in the summer, the preschools come and sing songs and entertain the seniors, and also the preschoolers get a chance to hug the seniors because they don't all have their grandparents around, so it's really a very nice relationship that we have there.
Thank you for the update. Let's hope the district changes its mind. If not, you can come back and talk to us. Sergeant Khan, please.
Good evening. My name is Hussein Khan. I'm a police sergeant for the Kensington Police Protection District. I have a couple positive things to say, and they're directed to our chief. Our Police Officers Association took a vote of confidence in Chief...
What's his name?
Harmon. We've got so many chiefs, it's nice to have a chief.
That's a lot of confidence.
So, Sidney's our fourth chief in about 2 or 3 years. I forgot his name there for a second. But as I said, that's normally what you'll hear is police officer associations will have issues with the chief of police, and they'll take a vote of no confidence. In our case, we took a vote of confidence. And all. The other thing I wanted to do was mark a milestone for Chief Harmon. And that's a notation here from the California Commission on Peace Officer Standards and Training. There is a standards of training for police officers all the way up to Chief of Police. And they've been around for 51 years now. And in that time, they award certificates to officers. For officers, there's a basic for new officers, an intermediate for intermediate, and for older officers, there's an advanced certificate. They also give those to supervisors and management. Chief Harmon, last year at the end of the year, got the executive certificate, which they only award to chiefs of police or department heads. In the 51 years, they've only issued 1,159. They're probably a little bit over that now, but I think throughout the whole state of California, only Chief Harmon's the 1,159th person to get one of these certificates, so they just don't hand these out. To get them, you have to have a certain level of education, you have to have a certain level of experience, and time served. So I wanted to acknowledge that along with my fellow officers who are throughout the audience here.
Any more public comments? Any more takers? Okay. Let's move into board member and staff member comments. And the board members, which start from my left, Dr. Puzzle.
Just a couple pieces of information should be of interest to every homeowner in Kensington. I mentioned a couple meetings ago that there had been 12 homes foreclosed in Kensington in January. I didn't check in February because I was out of town a lot, but up to this date in March, there are 5 so far this month. Distressed properties, either notes of default or ready for auction or actually foreclosed or bank owned. There's also a record number of active homes on the market. Normally there's 2 to 4 in Kensington on the market. Currently there are 15, and that's enormous, and I don't know what it means, but I provide that information to you just to think about. I think there are some people in trouble in Kensington, and we should market. I think that's all I have for now.
Okay. Director Wright?
Nothing.
I have 3 basic comments. I went to a Kensington Public Safety Committee meeting this past Monday night. As I recall, you may recall, I spoke about this group last time. It's a group of concerned citizens who are coming together to meet to discuss emergency preparedness, and there's a question about what they will do versus what our own district with John Stein and myself will do and what we will do in conjunction with the fire district. They're still finding their sea legs, and they're a committed group of volunteers, and I urge them to keep on moving in the direction they're going. There's also going to be a June CERT training for board members that the fire district in conjunction with the fire department is going to offer for the 5 of us. It's an 8-hour executive session, if you will. Finally, this Saturday, March 13th, at the Sarah Middle School, John Gioia, supervisor for the Board of Supervisors in our district, is having a fire safety training program for anybody who would like to attend. Points on how to keep your house fire safe, if that's possible, in a major fire. So, my comments. Thank you. Director McLaughlin.
No comments at this time.
And Director Stein.
No comments.
Let's move into staff comments then. Chief Harmon?
Oh, it's Stephanie.
She has me. I have one. We're going to be receiving a 19% discount on our motor vehicle insurance through SDRMA, as well as we're going to receive an additional 19% discount on our general liability insurance because we completed a workers' compensation credit incentive program, as well as a property and liability credit incentive program. And we received the maximum amount of points allowed because some of the officers participated in various safety programs through them. And there were other qualifying factors. And we also received bonus points for some of the programs that the officers are participating in. So I just wanted to mention that.
She's being kind of modest because what happens is SDMRA sends us this checklist, and we had 1 point going into this, and I asked Stephanie to get us up as many points as we possibly can. So she went from 1 point to 19, and we'll save like 19% on our insurance coverage. So that was a great job by Steph.
Great. Congratulations. Thank you for the savings.
Thank you.
We'll take it.
And I have a few things, unfortunately. so you come along. In regards to traffic, this week the county's been painting out additional signage on along the Arlington, posting additional signage regarding like speed advisories and pedestrian crossings, and they have placed parking restriction signs along the unit block of Arlington. These changes are a result of the traffic survey that we began in January. I received the draft toward the end of February, and hopefully by next month I'll be able to make it public. But following the recommendations of that survey, the county came out and changed, like I said, they increased signage, did some painting on the street of like shoulder markings, they highlighted our pedestrian crossings, and like I said, we restricted traffic up on the unit block of Arlington. There was also, on March 9th, a meeting of concerned citizens on the unit block of Arlington, and their concern was the speed that people travel that, for lack of a better term, the S-curve up there. So a lot of the parking restrictions and the additional signage up there is a result of that meeting. We have another meeting of this group, along with John Joya and Jerry Fay of the County Public Works Department, this March 30th. It's the last Tuesday of the month. Now, the week before that meeting, on the 23rd, the County Board of Supervisors will be hearing the traffic resolution, which will actually give the enforcement portion of the no parking along the unit block of Arlington. So for those that have a concern about that, this would be the time, this would be the place to make those concerns at the March 23rd Board of Supervisors meeting. Also, at the October Finance Committee meeting, the Finance Committee decided to recommend to the board to go with CalPERS and not PARS to fund our Gatsby 45 obligation. For those of you that don't know, that is our funding for our post-retirement medical benefits. This past Tuesday, I attended a CalPERS Gatsby 45 update workshop in Walnut Creek, and I plan on presenting a proposal for funding our post-retirement medical benefits at the April board meeting. My third item, I passed out a memo that I gave to the board of directors. Everybody have a copy of the memo? Looks like this.
Greg, if this is about the February counting, I think we're probably going to wind up pulling that from the meeting minutes.
Okay.
Maybe we can discuss
hold on that. All right. And then finally, for those of you that didn't read the general manager report or the police report, retired officer Phil Belusic passed away February 28th. And this Sunday, March 14th at 3 p.m. at the Pleasant Hill Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 800 Grayson Road in Pleasant Hill, they're going to have a memorial service for him. So I'm sure his family would really appreciate anybody that can attend that service. Members of the department will be going, and like I said, it's open to everyone if you know Phil.
Do you have a street address for that?
800 Grayson Road in Pleasant Hill. And if you want to stop by the station, we can provide you directions. And
okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Let's jump into approval of the consent calendar. And again, this is supposed to be a non-controversial issue. My first direct proposal asks if I can jump in to pull item B, profit and loss budget performance.
And is it,
or
is the variance report?
Pulled up, and that's fine. So, B and C. Anybody else care to pull anything? Nothing else. Okay. Then let's pull, for those of you who have a package, let's go to page 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. And I think there's some public time comments about this too, so I'm trying to think the best way. Kathy, why don't you start the discussion and tell us what your concerns are, and then we can segue into some other public comments and also Chief Garman's response and Bill too, okay?
Okay, I actually would like to yield my moment for concerns to Lord Morrison.
Okay.
I really didn't come with anything to say. I think it was appropriate for the board members, but I think maybe the right ones to speak first.
And I would suggest, maybe if you don't mind, let's get the board members to comment,
certainly.
And then we'll have you step up and frame the issue as you see it. And then I think Chief Harmon's done some work kind of digging into it. So let's, is that okay?
Sure.
Go ahead, Bill.
So I have a recommendation on the TNL statement that comes out every month in light of some of the memos and comments regarding the January results.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sort of this protocol that when you produce financial statements for either any reporting period, a month, a quarter, or a year, that you kind of close off that period of time so that you can't make any more accounting entries for that period, and so that's sort of locked in time. And until you do, the financial statements aren't really closed. Now, we like to get our financials every month so we can track and monitor and talk about them, and I think that's appropriate. Until the financial statements are closed, I think just the word draft should be on them, and that way they're not final. And that's common in a variety of circumstances. You put draft, everybody knows that they're a work in progress, and until the accountants make all their closing entries and say, okay, this is it, it's locked in stone, it's not going to change, then it remains draft. And I think that might help alleviate any concerns people have about the numbers moving around. And so they are finalized. So I think it's until they are finalized, whenever we see them, they should say draft on them. That's my recommendation.
Sounds reasonable. Any other board member comments about this particular item?
Well, I just have to express my concern that I don't recall receiving a budget or a variance report or anything that hasn't needed to be repaired. So I don't have any confidence in any of these reports that come my way. I that concerns me greatly.
Okay, fair enough. Director Stein.
One comment and a couple of questions. I thought we had talked about putting on these reports that they're unaudited reports, and I just didn't see that in the. And that's because they're only audited once a year, so all monthly statements should just say unaudited. It's very common. Then I was curious, and maybe somebody can help me on line item 672, Kensington Park O&M. And what is the definition of O&M?
First off, tell us what page you're on.
I'm sorry, page 9, third item from the bottom.
672.
That's the operations and maintenance, the cost of actually maintaining the park. So that's day-to-day. Day-to-day operations and maintenance. Yes. So that's not, is there, well again, a question, is there a depreciation line item? Anywhere in here for any of the Kensington physical assets?
Not in the budget.
Not in the budget.
The depreciation will show up in the audit report and in the overall balance sheet, but not in the.
Okay, so we're depreciating the physical assets.
Yes, we are.
Like a 30-year, whatever the. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in the accounting, yes, but of course, since we don't pay taxes, it's.
Great.
It's a moot point, but yes.
Yeah.
And you'll see it in the audit report.
Okay. Thank you.
Pat,
did you have any comments on this issue?
Well, I just wanted to respond to what Bill had to say. I understand his point, and I think we did talk about unaudited, which is a better thing. I'll tell you, folks, there's no such thing as at the end of the month the books are closed and it's in stone. It doesn't happen. And so to assume that there's a point in time until the figures are audited that no mistakes are going to be found is and journal entries are going to be put in to correct them. It just is the way of things. So if I'm not sure, but if I understood what you were saying, this is there wouldn't be a draft any longer. In my view, it's just plain, all of these numbers are unaudited until the audit report comes out. And at that point, the books then are closed, and that's the end of it.
So. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that is my point. It's there.
So it's not on a monthly basis.
Well, so, every month we get them, but they're unaudited.
They're unaudited. Yeah.
With that as prologue, I'd like to ask Gloria to stand up and tell us what her concerns were, which prompted this long and lengthy discussion on unaudited or draft or whatever you want to call them documents. Please, yes. Go ahead.
Yes, Gloria Morrison, and I really want to express my appreciation to Director Stein, and I very much agree with the notion of unaudited. When we saw, well, of course, they go back a couple of years, but one year where the audited a report is $90,000 different than our own P&L reports. Another year when it's $80,000. Unaudited is a very appropriate comment, and there's some point at which a book entry is probably appropriate to be made to come to the audited numbers.
Right.
Although
right.
It will depend on
that.
Will
have, can I pull you back into what prompted this
okay.
discussion?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I am one of those people. When I got my board packet, and again, I want to thank Stephanie and Chief Hartman for all the trouble she must go through to get it out to people like me, not board members, but I am one of those people who checks things out, and I happen to have the January P&L budget performance papers in front of me, and I printed the February, and I said, wait a minute, why is it that year-to-date February 2010 is a smaller number than year, now talking about income, excuse me, total income. Why is year-to-date income in February less than year-to-date income in January? This being January 10th and February 10th. That was my question, and I directed it to Chief Hartman and the members of the board, because, you know, I realize that sometimes there's things going on that I don't know a lot about. There's some other numbers that I had a little bit of trouble with, but just...
Let's stick with what you raised, because that I think
that
is the chief is prepared to discuss.
Yes. Sure.
Now, if I can move to the next step.
I got the email. Yes, thank you.
Let's have Chief Hartman give an explanation. And I think there's material up here for those in the audience who didn't pick it up. You can grab it on your way out. Chief Hartman, please, take it away.
As Gloria said, on Monday, March 8th, I received an email from Gloria that had the following statement in it. In reviewing the P&L statement, profit and loss statement for February 2010, and comparing it with that of the January 2010, there appears to be problems with some of the line item summations. In addition, the reports state that total income year-to-date has declined from $2,049,469 as of January 10, I believe in reference to last month, 2010, to $1,987,283 as of February 2010. Hopefully this can be explained. Yes, it can. As you know, the profit and loss statements are a picture in time on the date that they are printed. The January 2010 profit and loss statement was printed on February 2nd for the board's February meeting. On that date, it was shown that the total income year-to-date was $2,049,469. When I printed the profit and loss statement for the March meeting on March 2nd, that picture in time indicated that total income year-to-date was $1,987,282. Gloria's implied question is, why the $62,187 loss in revenue? My explanation. During the month, our accountant, Debbie Russell, and our staff make changes to the profit and loss statement continuously, making adjustments for income received, correcting where there were items expensed or received, and in order to place all income and expense items into the proper chart or account numbers in preparation for the annual audit. This is exactly what occurred between January and February. Prior to the start of our 08-09 annual audit on February 23rd, our accountant made corrections to the profit and loss statement. The biggest correction occurred in account number 415, Grants Police. On the January profit and loss statement, there was $62,731 listed under police grants. However, on the February profit and loss statement, only $1,619 appears. Staff had incorrectly placed the SLESF, or COPS, grant money received this fiscal year that was actually allocated to fiscal year 08-09 in this account. Prior to meeting with our auditor, our accountant had moved the 61,111 SLESF, or COPS grant money, received back into the 08-09 police grants, the 415 police grants chart. That action left total police grant revenue received for 9-10 at $1,619 when the statement was printed for the March meeting on March 2nd. Once again, a picture in time. During the audit, another discrepancy was discovered. By December of 09, the county had issued $121,536 to us, designated as 08-09 COPS allocation. This was $21,536 more than we should have received. On February 23rd, which happened to be the first day of our 08-09 audit, I was able to get in touch with the county administrator, and I was informed that the county had issued the first payments of the 09-10 COPS grant funding to all agencies and had mistakenly identified all of those payments as being allocated to fiscal year 08-09. So we had to confirm that we received the $21,536 that had been received in December was actually the first payment of our $100,000 COPS grant for this fiscal year. This correction to our February profit and loss statement was made by our accountant after March 2nd when I had printed the profit and loss statement for this meeting. Now what I have done, I've attached copies of the February 2010 profit and loss statement that I printed on March 10th, once again, March 10th, the picture in time, to this document. Okay. Now, if you were to look at the March 10th printing of the profit and loss statement under 415 police grants, it now shows $23,155.81, which is broken down to the $21,536.61 that we received in December that was mistakenly identified by the county as being part of our 08-09 COPS grant revenue source, $505.20, which was our share of the county Homeland Security grant, and a $1,114 reimbursement for our participation in the DUI enforcement program that we participated back in December. Total amount in 415 COPS 415 grants for police is now listed as of March 10th, $23,155.81. This change, along with other corrections and adjustments made in the income portion of the profit and loss statement, now indicate that on March 10th, total income year to date is $2,008,290.10. Once again, a picture in time. Now, I have attached to my memo all three profit and loss statements that I referred to in this memo for everyone's review. I'm also attaching for review what we use out of QuickBooks, which is our account activity for 415 grants police, which shows the three deposits that we put into that account this fiscal year.
Greg, I'm going to stop because I don't want to have you read every one of those lines.
Okay.
So, if you don't mind, I think we get the drift. There were some changes in the accounting from the last report that weren't reflected on the last report because it didn't accrue until this one. So as everybody said here, it's a draft, it's an update, it's an unaudited statement. I think Director Wright had a comment he wanted to make, and then if you guys don't mind, I want to move on.
Go ahead. Okay.
So my comment is that I think the accountant or the district may have a policy of when it closes the statements, cuts the cutoff, or when adjustments for prior periods can't occur anymore. And if she doesn't, she should have one. That's sort of normal standard accounting protocol. So my recommendation is if she doesn't have one, you can direct her to develop that policy. Okay?
Well, the problem with that is, as we do our audit, our 08-09 audit, and as the auditor comes to us and asks us about certain expenses that have been expensed, revenue received, when we research it further, when we find that mistakes have been made as far as what things were accounted to, we make the correction at that time. So as Kat was saying, the final, the auditor's final report is at that time when those books are closed and everything is finalized. I can appreciate the stamping the unaudited number on all these documents that we produce every month, and I'll do that in the future. But like I said in my little memo to everyone, especially when we deal with stuff like this on a monthly basis, depending on what time of the, what part of the month I actually print this report, these numbers are constantly changing, and I don't see how you could possibly lock them out.
Listen, I really don't want to drag this out. I'm going to take one question from John, and then
I did not come to talk about this. My name is Jonathan Mulder. I've been in the
you'll be brief,
community for 32 years, 33 years. I'm a CPA in the state of California. Inactive, which means I don't currently issue audit reports, but I was an auditor for 11 years. I've been a chief financial officer and or controller for 22 years. I'm a managing partner of a CFO consulting firm. To close your records and produce financial statements within 2 days after a month end is a highly and unusually short period of time. Best practices for small, medium-sized corporations is 10 to 12 days. So without defending or criticizing any of the comments, I think all the points are well taken. You will continue to incur these kinds of items. I would be hard-pressed to call them mistakes at this point. I think 2 days of closing is an unusually short period of time.
Thank you very much. I really don't want to waste a lot more time on this, folks. So if you don't mind, I'd like to call for a resolution to approve the consent calendar. I think we've gone enough over this items B and C so we all understand what the issues are about draft and unaudited statements. Do I have a resolution to approve the consent calendar?
I will move to approve the consent calendar as corrected.
As corrected. Thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
No opposed? Okay. I forgot to let the record reflect that Director Wright came in a few minutes late. I'll let him slide. The next item on our agenda is under District Old Business, and it has to do with General Manager Greg Harmon will present the board with an update on the Annex Remodeling Project for board action. And for those of you who are following along, it's on page 31.
Maybe a little bit of history. On January 20th of this year, I met with Jason Caldas, who is the architect that had prepared the original drawings for the remodel of the annex. The district was considering renting the building to a child care provider. At that time, a contract was entered into with Mr. Caldas for $12,800 to provide drawings for the remodel of the annex as a child care center. I then informed Mr. Caldas at this time the district was moving forward with the remodeling of the annex to be used as a public meeting community center. He advised me that the change in the building's use would affect the type and the number of restroom fixtures needed to make the building code compliant. For the use of a conference room with 50 occupants, the building would need one male lavatory and three female lavatories. In reviewing the previous remodel drawings for the child care center and estimating the new cost of the remodeling project for the annex to be used as a public meeting building, Mr. Collis estimated the cost of the remodel to bring the building up to code at $129,000. And I should put in here too, that doesn't include the original estimate of the dry rot damage of $30,000. Now, why I want to go over this with the board is because I just want people to realize we've already invested in architectural drawings for the building at a cost of nearly $13,000. Now, I spoke with Jason, and I asked him to give me a breakdown on the cost of his $129,000, and it was estimated to be the following. Revised drawings to change it from a child care provider or a child care center to a community center meeting building would cost us approximately $1,500. To prepare all the bid work for the project, an additional $1,500. And to manage the project, which he estimated the remodeling would take approximately 4 months, he estimated for them, his firm to do that, would cost an additional $6,000, or $9,000 total architectural cost for the project. He estimated the actual remodeling of the annex interior to be approximately, this is ballpark, $90,000, and he also estimated the remodel for the exterior of the building to be at $30,000. Now that's not the dry rot. That's not the dry rot. That is actually smoothing out. Well, the main portion of that is actually the drainage issue in the back of the building. So that is where he came up with this $129,000 for the project. However, in dealing with the cost of the drainage issue and the outside remodel portion of the building, Jack Griffith had already prepared drawings for the project when we initially started this back in 08, and we have already paid Jack $3,500 for those drawings. He estimated at the time for him to assist me in handling the bidding for that portion of the project at $250, and an additional $1,000 is construction support, which would be for him to actually supervise the project as it went forward. At the time, Cardi Construction provided the lowest bid for the outside construction portion of the remodel, about $13,547. This cost, added to the additional work to be completed by Jack Griffith, would make the cost of the outside portion of the remodel to be about $14,797, or half the $30,000 estimated by Mr. Caldas at our January meeting. That would place the estimate for the annex remodel at $114,000. In addition, we would still have to take care of the dry rot damage that has occurred to the building. Originally, back in 08, I contacted Mitz Termite, and they had given me an estimated cost to repair the dry rot damage of a little over $30,000. I recontacted Mitz, and they informed me that without a second inspection, they really couldn't be, I couldn't hold them that figure, but he said it still cost about $30,000. Now, I didn't go any further getting additional bids or anything like that because I just wanted to present these costs for the remodel to the board, and then I'll go from there.
Okay. What prompted this whole discussion, we took a vote in October to ask Chief Harmon to investigate the costs to renovate the annex and make it usable for public space. We didn't formally adopt that as a directive to him. We directed him to get the costs together. I thought we had actually voted up WW funds to spend it. I took a second look back at the meeting minutes, and it turns out we haven't. So the building is just sitting up there. We're kind of fumbling around here trying to figure out what to do. At the last meeting, some citizens suggested we do a resource review and analysis. I've been in discussion with a number of other citizens since the last meeting about what they'd like to see happen. And I think the sense of the board now is we'd like to see this used as a public space, but we haven't formally adopted that as a resolution. What I'm suggesting, subject to the board's pleasure here, I'd like to put together an ad hoc committee of some board members and some community members to look at this and get back and tell us why we should or why we shouldn't make it a public space. Chief Harmon.
Can I add something that's been offered to us in regards to that last statement? Well, after our last meeting, in which Andrew Reed spoke and discuss this whole concept of a park master plan for the buildings, he provided me with a group of names of people, architects that actually do that kind of work. And I had a meeting with an individual by the name of Stephen Fee, who works for FME, it's an architectural firm. And following our meeting, we came up to the park and talked about all the issues up here, and I told him what we were kind of looking for. And he sent me this email this afternoon, and this is kind of the offer that he's making to us, in line with your speaking up here. Dear Greg, I enjoyed meeting with you and touring the new park last Friday, March 5th. I understand there are three buildings you're concerned with in the new park, the community center, the annex, and building E. I further understand that Kensington Community Council, using their own money, rehabilitated building E, and it's leased to them for the foreseeable future. You have plans to remodel the community center, paid for with the Kensington community's money. There have been several scenarios considered for the annex. Remodels a child care center, paid for with community money. Remodels a public meeting community center, possibly paid for with Proposition WW bond money. There are other possibilities. What I would like to propose is that we get together in two or three sessions with our CEO, marketing director, to brainstorm other possibilities regarding the use and funding mechanisms. We will establish goals and objectives, prioritizing the different possibilities and project revenue, if any. We will not charge for this effort. Once a direction is set, we'll be able to give you a proposal.
Could you say that again?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. So, this so the board knows that this offer has been made, and it's one that we might consider along with the forming of a board community venture.
So you can affect the resource and review and discussion, something like that, what Mr. Reed suggested at the last meeting.
Yeah.
I was going to propose this ad hoc committee of a couple of the directors and a couple of the community members, perhaps. Now I'm not quite sure which one to do first. I'd love to have a professional do it. I had spoken as some architects signing on this committee here, as well as some other community members. What I had proposed doing actually was I had suggested that John Stein and perhaps Kathy Kozel, since she used to be in charge of the annex, be our board representatives. And then I was going to pull Andrew Reed, Jack Griffith. I had spoken with Don Domer and Glenn Walter. I think that reflects the range of views on how this building should be used. And my goal would be to have you meet two meetings from now and come back and tell us what your best recommendation is for this building. And then if you wanted, you could pull in this architect and get his expertise as well. If he's willing to do it, Don Domer may not have to. Don Domer actually specializes in public buildings as a design professional. That's what he does. But I mean, we've been kind of fumbling around with this ball. I think I'd like to get a clear sense of what your group would say about this and come back and say, this is our recommendation. And then we would have a report of some kind from you, and then we would just move forward with that as the basis for a recommendation. Whatever way it comes up. Yeah.
Andrew Mixter has just, I don't know if he volunteered for another project. He is just dynamite. Okay.
I don't mind bringing you in as long as we can make it a manageable group of people. Yeah. That'd be fine.
He's done a wonderful job.
They're construction professionals, and they know what they're doing. And they can tell us things that we would only guess about. So, I mean, that would be my way of trying to handle it rather than belabor the point in a public session. If we could have this ad hoc committee meet and report back in probably two meetings. I think we'd need at least two meetings to make it work.
And can I ask?
Sure.
For one piece of information. Greg, what's the date on the MITS pest control report?
I have no idea. It was done in 2008.
2008. So there can't be that much more damage. And there are an awful lot of firms who could do that for a lot less, probably half. East Bay Structural would be one, and I think prior to us doing anything, we should get a bid on that. And then pest control work is frequently folded into remodeling, so you'd save some money there too. So I don't think it's as much as it looks like.
It might not be. These are the kind of recommendations I would want this group to pull together and give us literally a blueprint on what you're going to do, what your recommendation
well,
is.
Well, I think we need another estimate. And,
well, you can make that decision amongst yourself as a committee. If you want another estimate, you'd be empowered to do that.
I thought we could have it before we met.
Well, if you want that too, we can work it out. What I'm trying to do is to make this a flexible committee because it is a committee of two boards and these committee members, it has to be responsive to the Brown Act, but Stephanie and Chief Harmon can make sure you keep your Brown Act requirements moving forward, and you can be as flexible as you want to meet. And if you want that recommendation first of a third term report, great, can get it. I'm sure. Bill?
Chuck, on the with regard to the Brown Act, even if the two board members, but it's not a standing committee, it's just an ad hoc committee, then it's not, I don't believe it is.
Just two board members by themselves, it's not a Brown Act requirement, but the minute you bring people into it, I think it becomes a Brown Act requirement. If someone has a different answer, that's fine.
If it's less than a majority of the board.
Well, but the question is, if it's less than the majority, but you have people coming on the committee, you need a Brown Act. John and I took a look at it, and our thought was you would probably have to comply. If we can get a more definitive answer, I'm more than happy to dispense with that requirement. I want to make this a flexible group that hits the ground running. It gives us, as for say, a one and done.
Yeah, my reading of the Brown Act is if it's two board members alone and only, the Brown Act does not apply. As soon as it's two board members plus community participation, then the Brown Act does apply, and it's pretty clear.
Okay. It would seem to me this kind of committee should be noticed anyway, because the community has a real stake mm-hmm. in this. And so you know, regardless of the Brown Act, I think it should operate that way as a notice of a meeting.
Chuck, my only comment would be maybe we can marry the two. Maybe we can have the ad hoc committee actually work with this professional who has generously donated his time. So we can accomplish both at once.
That's fine. I'm really giving you a directive and asking you to come back with your best results. I need you to work out the details. So if you guys don't mind, is there a resolution to approve? Well, first off, I want to make sure I haven't spoken out of turn for any of my volunteers I named. I think I spoke with most of them ahead of time, except I didn't have a chance to speak with Kathy. I apologize. But did you want to serve on it? Great. Can I have a resolution to appoint this ad hoc committee with the power to review the board's, the annex use and discussions with as many professionals as they think they need to rope in, and give it a short time frame of 2 months? Perhaps to get back with their best recommendation on what this would be. Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't included public discussion.
So moved for discussion.
Okay.
You know, the chair can make their own motion.
Okay.
But I will move it for you.
Thank you. Well, I have a second on that. And then we're going to put it open for public discussion. And I saw Andrew in the back, so you're the first one up. You want to? Rather than have to walk right away to the front, you can stand up and just say your name. Introduce yourself, everybody.
My name's Andrew Lee. Can you clarify, do you really want the focus of the committee to just be on the annex? I thought this was about a look at an integrated facility.
Well, we have a master plan for the park already. That's not going
just
to
the
change.
Buildings.
Yeah, just the building, yeah. And the reason I
would ask... building chart? Or
well,
look at all the buildings?
If we need to look at this building as part of the annex's future use, you can look at that. I don't want to limit you. What I'm trying to do is to give you free rein to come back to us based on what you see in the park, the structures, and what you think the best use of the annex would be. What I don't want to see happen is 5 years the annex is falling down because no one took care of it and it's a rotten mess. It's going to be an eyesore in what is otherwise a very pretty park. So I asked Jack Griffiths to be on this because he was instrumental in creating the master plan for the park. So I think with that kind of expertise and that kind of a deep bench, I think you guys can come up with some pretty solid recommendations on what we should do, funding sources, possible uses, the whole nine yards of everything. And if you need to look at other buildings and figure out how they might work with the annex, so be it. Vita, why don't you stand up, sir?
If you were to include Building E and the community center in this study, then I would strongly suggest that you include perhaps the president of KCC in this group, because as you are aware, KCC has already committed $200,000 to the renovation of this building. So before they keep spending money, with the architect and construction, the structural engineer, etc., if there is going to be any questions of coordinating, then perhaps it should be looked at now.
We've approved the KCC's renovation to the building subject to some pretty strict conditions. Like they have to make sure they have all the money.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying that if you're looking at, you know, the usage, or you're looking at I don't quite understand how you can be looking at the three buildings at the same time anyway, because one is leased and one needs to be renovated and one is being built.
I'm going to leave that to bigger minds than mine right now to figure out exactly that question and that answer. Okay.
But, well, my suggestion was just that you keep KCC in the loop as well, so they know.
Okay.
Can I respond to that? Aside from whatever kind of cross purposes there might be in considering all the buildings, one potential use that was at least mentioned for the annex is a overflow for KCC activities. And so, in that regard, I think it's totally appropriate to include KCC.
I'll amend my resolution. I'll ask Director Cozell to amend my resolution to put and one appointee from the KCC.
Okay. Yes, thank you. That's a good amendment.
Bess, why don't you stand up, if you don't mind.
Ms. Jaffel, I'm thinking that maybe we need to include, perhaps in this committee, someone from the FKL representing the library.
We're getting pretty large here, as far as the group
represents. I just thought, we are adjacent.
I appreciate that. I'm going to give this committee kind of a flexible mandate. If they think they need to pull more representative people onto it, that's fine. But I think right now I've really tried to give a broad cross-section of the community. People have different views, and I hope that out of those differences can come one great recommendation for the whole community to rely on. Any other public comments at all? If not, we have a resolution on the board. You have a second. I'd like to call the question and ask all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much.
I assume you're charging Mr. Herman to bring this group together?
Yeah. And you guys can pick the two leads would be Kathy and John Stein as the chair of the committee, just so that's clear, because you're a board committee. Thank you all for volunteering. Any more volunteers? Okay. Item two. This is on page 34 for those who are reading along in Harmony. General Manager Greg Harmon will present to the board the revised fiscal year 2009-2010 mid-year budget review for discussion, comment, and possible action. Chief Harmon, the floor is yours.
Well, just quickly, I presented this mid-year review to the board last month, and several questions came up regarding some of the figures that appeared on it. I met with the Finance Committee, I forget the date. Pat, when did we meet?
The 2nd or 3rd of March?
Yeah, the 2nd or 3rd of the month. And the Finance Committee went over the document. They made recommendations as to what changes should be made. Pat McLaughlin sat down with me, and we made the corrections per both the board and the finance committee. And the document that you have in your packet is the mid-year budget review with all the corrections made by both the board and the finance committee. With exception of one.
The grant.
The police.
The $62,000.
And there was kind of a reason for that, too. I think we discussed, Pat and I, that it would just add to the confusion if we were to change that portion of the document at this time.
So, how do you want to walk us through this, Greg? Because I'm sure we all have some questions about the mid-year adjustments. What's your game plan to explain it to us?
I don't know.
Mark can meet every line. I'm going to stop here. But are there global issues we need to look at and consider? Or one of the questions I had, frankly, was we've discussed in the past the notion of mid-year course corrections here. And I always assumed it was for some major new fact that emerged that we hadn't budgeted for, like, for example, a COPS grant that comes out of the state's largesse. Rather than simple budget over or under runs. Did I get that right, or am I mistaken?
Well, I think so, and I think as things develop during the course of the year that weren't budgeted for when this budget was proposed back in May and passed in June, I think, yeah, now is the time that we make those corrections. We'll be doing that later tonight when we talk about the allocation of the 910 COPS grant money. And I think, you know, my purpose in when I actually prepared the document, what I was trying to show, and I probably didn't do a very good job of it, but we did have one of the actions that was taken in the beginning of the fiscal year was that even though that we were authorized 10 sworn positions, I never filled that 10th position because I was concerned about the shortfall that we're carrying into the year. Now, that's going to come up later on because we're going to discuss possibly filling that 10th position with COPS money. But what I wanted to show in this document is with the savings, year-to-date savings of not having that 10th officer, which happens to be a sergeant's position that was not filled, along with some of the other cost savings we've made, and we've had this adjustment budget actually has the cost of the construction of the restroom in it, that even though we will get reimbursed for that construction, it's going to be expensed in this fiscal year, and our reimbursement probably won't come until next fiscal year. So that's going to increase our expenses in this particular document. But I think those, you know, the Reader Digest version of this is basically you save money by not hiring that 10th position, which was a sergeant's position, and we are going to incur more costs, and it's associated with the restroom project at this time. And those have been incorporated into this document, minus this expenditure. Well, that's going to come up in a later discussion.
I think Director McLaughlin has some comments.
Yeah, as Greg said, I went over this with him. He's left out, he's left out one other feature that it has changed, and that is we had an $80,000 leftover of money left over from the COPS 08-09 fiscal year. So that has to be either spent this year or returned. And so not being inclined to return it, there's a line item of, what is it, 598, a line item of 49,000 in addition to the already budgeted, that is a major change to the budget. That is to finish spending the $80,000, 49 and 30, and the 31 we did budget. So that's one other change, Greg, that needs to be mentioned.
Okay. Any other board member comments about all of this?
I've got one comment.
Okay.
And it probably picks up a little bit on what Bill said earlier about at some point closing the books. What I'm used to, what might be easier for everybody to fully comprehend is, and we have, and John, maybe you can help. Usually when you do a budget and it's approved by the board, that's it. The budget doesn't change. The budget is the budget is the budget. Now, during the year, as Greg is articulating, lots of things change. And if enough significant things change, you can come up with a new budget called a revised budget. But it's a revised budget. It's not going back and changing the budget. The budget that was approved by the board is the budget. It doesn't change. You can have a revised budget, which reflects all the things that happened in real life. And that might be easier for all of us to begin to understand and comprehend what's going on than to keep going back and creating a new budget. And the reason for that is because if you have a new budget every month based on what's happening, then what you're seeing by some community members and some board members, quite candidly, is the budget's a moving target, and that's not the idea of a budget. A budget is a fixed target. Okay, so it doesn't mean that you can't do everything you're doing. You just call it a revised budget, and then people can compare that to the original budget, which is fixed.
Yes.
John, did I sort of say that mostly correct?
Well, if you're asking my opinion, do I have a moment?
Sure. If you don't mind.
I sit on several boards. So I'm the chief financial officer, and in my opinion, and I should say in my experience, when the budget's set, it's not changed, period. The only thing that matters is the management can articulate, identify and articulate the changes between actual and the budget. That's what matters. If you change the budget, I submit you're creating a lot of busy time. And you end up with less numbers to explain because you've incorporated what you know into the new number. And I submit that's busy work. What matters is you establish a budget. Management says we've taken our best effort. The board, management have dialogue. They approve the budget. There will always be variances. Revenues over, revenues under. Expenses over, expenses under. What matters is they can be identified and explained. I would not take the time and effort to go through and revise the budget. I'd look at the budget that's established, and I'd hold management accountable to it.
Thank you. Words of wisdom. Thank you very much. That's very accurate, and I appreciate that. I tried to preface my comments to all of this by, why are we changing anything here? We have a budget. If something changes in the line item, so be it. That's kind of it. So I don't know that we need it. Do we need a mid-year correction for any kind of accounting purposes? I don't think so. If you want to call footnote attention to something, you can do that during the course of each month in meeting, but I just kind of, I can't follow all these changes in my mind trying to figure out where we are. I think both Johns are correct. The budget's the budget, and so be it. Please stand up.
I think both John and Jonathan are very accurate in their statements, and just one, you can do an amendment to your budget, typically most cities do at mid-year. And that is for things like Blair mentioned, grants come in that you didn't expect, so you want to spend those. Typically, that's what you would do amended budget for, if something significant in your revenue change. Downward, your tax revenues decrease, so then you need to adjust expenditures to do that as well. But typically, in doing, I think what you have here is really more of a cash balance statement of, you know, where you're seeing the variances. And so you just need to adjust between accounts. And I don't think the board needs to act to do those. Those are things that management can do, unless it's in a different category, and that just depends on which standard government accounting you're using.
Thank you. And I know Gloria had a comment. You can just stand up, Gloria, because we're so proud of you. I don't want to make people fight
for the
crowd.
On the comment, and as you say, the budget is the budget, but all the same, there have been some weaknesses in the budget many, many times over the years. And one of them is that dedicated funds are not pulled aside with their dedicated expenditures. Why is it important? Well, on COPS, suppose we decide with our $100,000, we're going to spend money on vehicles and people. Chief Harmon doesn't do that. But vehicles and secretaries and people, and it exceeds $100,000. But because we don't put them together, dedicated funds to dedicated expenditures, the point may be lost on the community. We have to decide. Maybe it's important that we spend more than the amount of money we get. But we need to know, and we need to put it together. And frankly, this, I guess you call it the adjustment of the $80,000, really brought that to mind. I think COPS is one of the special funds that needs to be clarified. The other is our lighting and landscaping fund. I have been told that year after year, the expenditures exceed revenue that's $12, $13 that we all spend, almost double in terms of the operations and maintenance. Maybe I'm not quite correct there. But again, if we put them together, we would see, and we could ask ourselves, is it worth spending that much more money than we take in on the park? Should we ask for more taxes? But we've got to put it together because the point is really hard to make. I'm a member of the Finance Committee, and as the other members of the Finance Committee know, I have said this more than once, but I truly believe that this kind of clarification would help all parties.
The only thing I would add is I would like to defer to our accountants on how these reports take their form, because I'm not an accountant, and I would just assume have the accountants say, this is what we do in this world. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yes. Well, may I say, of course, I should have brought my husband. I should have realized Lane would bring
Gloria, him. Thank you very much.
But my husband is a CPA as well. And he also has
thank you.
Yeah. Well, I want to say this. In the past, we have, in fact, mid-year, made adjustments. Now, I'm not talking about penny ante stuff, the $1,400 here and $3,500 here, but there are a couple of major, and that's going to look pretty strange on the audit report if we don't consider at least. And the major changes are the $100,000 COPS grant money that we did not expect and was not budgeted for. That's coming in, and that's a substantial amount of money. And the additional $40,000 that we did not budget to spend, which we must if we're going to use up our prior COPS money. And then since we did not budget for the bathroom, $130,000 there, however it comes out. Those are the kinds of items I think do represent a change in the budget, and I would in fact make a recommendation that we alter the budget with those three items.
Folks, I'm going to ask that we kind of close this discussion because we have a lot more important stuff than whether we change the budget report. And I'm not trying to belittle the board, but we got two more budget issues coming up and, of course, the big events. So if you don't mind, do we have to do any action on this item, Greg? So unless you guys object, I'd like to move on to the next item.
Well, can we have this go back to the Finance Committee or to some other group to contemplate and come back with a recommendation?
I'm more than happy to let them do that. That's what they're chartered with, and I'd ask them to speak to our accountant.
Well, in fact, our recommendation was to make those modifications to the budget, but that recommendation has not been acted on.
Okay. If there's no other action to be taken with this item, I really would like to move on. Okay? New business. General Manager Greg Harmon will present to the board the Finance Committee's recommendations for the final expenditures of the 2008-2009 COPS grant, and this does require a board action. Chief Harmon, I defer to you.
Well, as we've been discussing, we had a carryover of COPS funding from 08-09 into this year. That carryover was $80,000, $80,804. In our budget that we prepared for this year, we budgeted or expensed $31,470 of that. So what's before the board tonight is you need to spend, or we have to spend, $49,334 of the 08-09 COPS grant funding, otherwise we'll lose it. And we have to do that by June 30th. The Finance Committee reviewed my proposals, and what the Finance Committee agreed to was the purchase of a police patrol vehicle, a laptop computer for one of our vehicles, vehicle number 5, the adjustment for the police services aid, and then we have a contingency fund of $4,700. That was the recommendation that came out of the Finance Committee, and that's the recommendation before the board.
Okay, let me open it up to board discussion here. Anybody have a comment about this?
I just want to add a clarifying note. There's two buckets. What Greg's talking about is the first bucket. It's the stuff from last year that we need to spend, and then a separate item is going to be the stuff from this year that we need to act on. So this is just a purpose.
And if we don't spend it by June 30th, we have to give it back to the granting agency. That doesn't work.
Okay. I don't know where you're sitting, but...
No, it's a pretty easy discussion.
Any other board discussion at all? let's open up to the public then. Have a brief public comment about this. Anybody have any comments in our audience about how we propose to spend this money? You haven't ridden any off patrol cars lately, have you?
We have one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please, stand up and say your name.
Catherine the Mayor Guard. I'm wondering if it would be really great to have some educational function, like, you know, having seminars in community relations or working against racism, sexism, and other forms of prejudice, that sort of thing, an educational function thing.
I think the problem we're facing is it's March and we have to do this by June 30th, and I'm not sure we can do it. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I think there's better answers than mine for me.
We are absolutely restricted on how we can spend this money, and the money has to be spent in some way to enhance the police presence on the, in the community. In other words, it can only be spent for things that will relieve a police officer from one thing and allow him to do his job more efficiently in another place. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So education is not available to us as a place to spend.
Who grants the money, just so we're clear?
The state of California.
Okay. And it's dedicated to police services?
Well, not just police services. But the fact that we are enhancing police presence on the streets in some way, whether that's adding an officer or adding a car or adding a computer for them to type their reports on so they have more time on the streets.
Okay. No other public comments about this?
I have one
suggestion. Please say your name.
Chris Deppy, a resident. We've been trying to get traffic control on Franciscan Way for a long time and been told there's no money for something like a radar sign that would tell people how fast we're going. It sounds like there's some money now. It might help with that. I don't know what the chief thinks about that.
I'd like it.
There's a. I mean, it doesn't have to be always in Franciscan. We could, loan it out once in a while.
One of the things that was originally proposed to the Finance Committee when I thought I had an additional $21,000 was the purchase of a radar trailer. That, unfortunately, was when we found out that we didn't have that extra $20,000, the first thing to go. If you're speaking of a fixed sign, like you see in some communities, I don't have the cost for those. However, I don't know whether or not the cops funding would pay for that. The trailer was proposed to the COPS administrators, and they approved that because the trailer that we were going to purchase not only flashed the speed that you were going, it also flashed community messages, and you could show that that was taking an officer away from actually doing, whether it be traffic warnings or something like that. So an actual speed sign I'd have to check. And that's something we can certainly look into with that 4708 contingency.
Okay. I think I asked, yeah. Would you please stand up and say your name?
I'm Mark Shore.
Can we use that money towards a 10th officer?
I'm sorry, what? Can we use that money towards a 10th officer?
Stay tuned. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we have another. How much would a traffic trailer cost, do you think?
$19,000.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I thought it was 16,000.
Yeah, I think it's 16,000.
I think
that's right. Can we use the county?
Just to answer the question real quick, yes, the county has two trailers. All you have to do is call them up and request they be put in your neighborhood, and it goes throughout the county. And that's what they've been using up in Arlington recently.
Okay. Is there a waiting list for that?
I'm sorry,
if I did, I apologize. Okay. Greg, is there a waiting list for the county speed measure or whatever you call it, or can we get it frequently?
No, there's a waiting list.
There is?
And they try to rotate it through the county. There's two of them, which they try to rotate. Like I said, a couple weeks ago, you may have seen it up on the Arlington at the unit block.
Please go ahead now.
My name is Maria Adrians. We have
been in communication quite often, and we're always told that there's no money, no time, no officers. I'm kind of shocked that there's $80,000 floating around, spent on a car and a computer, and you're telling us that there's no trailer, there's no hookup for the trailer to bring the trailer on the street. You only have to call and it's going to come. It's absolutely not true. And this is probably not the time to talk about this. We will come to another meeting about this.
This is actually
you should have said
right
something at the beginning. But the traffic on Franciscan Way is just out of control. And Chief Harmon is always belittling us. And I think by giving precedence on the Arlington, which is a designated thoroughfare with lights and stop signs and sidewalks and everything, Franciscan Way has nothing like that, and we're just tired of being honked by people who drive very fast. I yell at people, probably people from my own community, because I get so stressed out. It's so noisy, it's so busy. And I would very much like it to be taken serious.
I think one of the recommendations of our traffic specialist is for enhanced enforcement. And I think putting officers on various streets that are well-traveled, or excessively traveled, if you will, and writing tickets on a regular basis is going to probably be a whole lot more effective than a traffic trailer. But your point is well taken, and we fully understand your concerns about people using the street as a speedway.
Can I address some of those comments real quick? Because they were pretty inflammatory.
Yeah, I don't, Greg, I'm going to ask you to hold on, because we really do have a lot to do, and I don't want to make too much discussions. Lynn, stand up and say your name, and then we're going to...
My hand was raised before the chief's was. I'd like to respond to some of your comments. I've been attending all of the service assistance meetings for the last couple of years, and I know that within the last year and a half, there have been signage changes on Franciscan. I travel Franciscan quite regularly, and frequently there are officers parked in the corner at the cemetery, and they're watching the speed of people coming down Sunset and turning that corner. And so those were unfair comments. Thank you.
Regardless of the choice of words here, I'm not going to mince. Yeah, let me relate a story that I saw when I was going through Marin and just below Marin in Albany. I saw a police officer out there with a radar gun, and he had five patrol cars on the side street, and they were tracking people as they came down the street and sending one cop after another to give tickets. That kind of swift enforcement could probably be used on the Arlington, on Franciscan Way, and on any other arterial that has excess speed and excess traffic.
Westminster, when mothers are racing their kids to school.
Yep.
Yes.
Any one of a number of schools.
Yes.
I think we have unanimity with our police force as well on that. The point is, those are all management questions for Chief Harmon to address. Could I ask you to turn off your cell phones, or I'll confiscate them? Or better yet, I'll use them as my pedestal. Everybody has to turn their... Oh, you're turning it off. I'm sorry. I thought that was someone's phone ringing. Okay. So, we've heard the community, we've heard the chief, we've heard some other members. What's your pleasure on this COPS grant for here?
COPS, I don't know what you mean by that, Kathy. For the purpose of using up the 0809 money by June 30th, I move that we accept the recommendations of the chief, since I know what's coming next. Anyway, that's a motion to accept it.
Okay. Just so the community knows, we do have another motion coming up talking about hiring another officer for enforcement. So, I'll second. Okay. Any other board comment, or is we can call for a vote?
I think we've heard from the community tonight that they're a lot more concerned about traffic enforcement than they are about the items recommended here. And I just send this back for review. And
item two on our new business talks with hiring a cop for traffic enforcement purposes. So I think we can do a two for one here. by both getting new equipment we need and also by hiring a cop with the second tranche of COPS funding for just the purposes the community is expressing interest in for traffic enforcement. Having an officer out there giving tickets is so effective that it really just makes people slow down and stop. I think like a $300 ticket will make you think twice. So we have a board resolution. We have a second. I'd like to call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. The resolution passes 4-1. And let's do move into item 2 right now. General Manager Greg Harmon will present to the board the Finance Committee's recommendation for approval of Resolution 2010-02, the Acceptance and Expenditure Plan for the 2009-2010 COPS Grant Board Action. Chief Harmon?
Like I said in my opening comments under staff comments, the traffic surveys are coming out soon, and like Chuck Toombs had mentioned, what the survey is basically to say, I'll give you a little preview, is the best thing for this community to do to slow down speeders and to deal with some of the traffic issues is stricter enforcement. And having said that, going to the memo, we were notified that we will receive our $100,000 COPS grant allocation. As of this date, we've already received $21,000 of it. I've contacted the county COPS grant administrator, and I informed them that although we budgeted for our 10th officer in our fiscal year 09-10 budget, I never filled the position due to the concerns I had regarding our budget shortfall. I was informed that we could use COPS grant funding to fund the 10th position. And what I'm proposing is the actual funding of that 10th position and the total cost to bring an officer at step 3, and this includes all the benefits and all the medical, is $117,000, of which $100,000 of COPS money would be dedicated to paying that expense. What I was going to do with that 10th officer is just what we've been talking about tonight. Have a dedicated traffic officer that would be working, you know, most of the time. His main priority would be to deal with traffic issues in the community. That was proposed to the Finance Committee, and the Finance Committee agrees with that recommendation. So that's what's before the board tonight.
Okay. Board discussion on this?
I don't want to start.
Okay. Duly noted. Pat?
Well, yeah, I think this is definitely the way to go. And just want to point out that it will impact the budget by more than $100,000, but that's perfectly fine if we were to fund the 10th officer position out of our ordinary budget. We're ahead by $100,000, so it seems to me a wonderful opportunity. And otherwise, we do have trouble finding ways to spend the money that will go with the rules. So here we got a built-in opportunity, I think.
John, do you have a comment?
No, I'm fine.
Bill. Greg, the survey, who could you tell us and everybody who did the survey?
You're talking about the traffic survey?
Yeah, that says that.
UC Berkeley, they have a traffic engineering firm that they do traffic surveys all over the country. I guess back in December, I submitted an email I sent to them. I heard about them, asking them that they would do one for us on our, basically, it was our one traffic light intersection down here at the park in Arlington, and they agreed to do the survey at no cost. And like I say, I've received the draft of their recommendations, and I've wrote my comments and responses to the draft, and I'm waiting for the final version to come through. But based on some of the things that were in the draft, the county's already taken steps to improve some of the traffic issues that were identified. But just so everybody know, what they basically said that as far as, you know, mechanical devices and stuff, we've done, you know, just about as much as we possibly could. There's some other things you can probably do, but their main recommendation is stricter enforcement. And all that'll be in the report and in the discussion, as well as why stricter enforcement works and everything else.
Greg, we have a radar gun in the district, don't we?
I'm sorry?
We have access to a radar gun in the district?
Several.
Several, okay. So someday we'll see four officers down on Franciscan Way stopping
traffic. I would be happy to be use one myself on Westminster.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll use one on Beverly.
Who goes we'll there?
Use them all.
I can't cross my house. I can't cross the street in front of my house during commute hours. I don't dare.
Chuck wants one too.
Yeah, I want one there. Park in front of my house.
So, I have a question. If lateral entry officer at step 3, 117,000, is that a brand new wet behind the ears officer, Greg?
No, that's an officer who has graduated the academy. And at step 3, any officer I bring at step 3 has actually had street experience with another department.
Do we need that for traffic? 117,000 seems pretty steep. Yes.
But that's everything, budget, basic salary, and everything else.
Just so you know, the officer hired won't be working traffic. There'll probably be another officer that's already in our agency. The officer hired would be replacing that officer to go to patrol.
So you're free.